I'm really excited that I get to share with you today because several things have been on my heart. But they all can be summed up in breakthrough. I see so many people, and they're not living in everything that God has for them, everything God wants for them. And it can be for so many different reasons, but none of those reasons matter. Here's the thing. I believe Jesus is coming soon, but he's not coming down. He's not coming back for a broken, defeated, crawling on the floor, barely getting by, barely surviving church. He's coming back for a victorious church. He's coming back for a church that knows who they are, that's walking in their authority as believers, that's walking in everything Jesus died to give them. Salvation is wonderful, but it's not the only thing. It is not the only thing. And if you have salvation, thank God for that. Thank God for that, because that's the start of it, right? That's the start of it. That's how you access it. But Jesus died to give you so much more. And I'm just going to tell you, I am not going to let anybody, I'm not going to let religion, I'm not going to let man, I'm not going to let other Christians talk me out of what Jesus died to give me. He paid too high of a price for it. Too high of a price. Now, thank God, most Christian churches, most Christian denominations at least can agree on salvation. But a lot of them have said, we can't have anything else. Well, again, I just said a while ago, we can agree to disagree. If they don't want that, that's fine. But I'm going to press in. I'm going to press in. I'm going to take hold by faith of everything that Jesus died to give me. So that's really what I want to talk to you today is breaking through. Now, Brother Jerry Savelle went home to be with the Lord back in April. But last year in November, on November 5th, actually, the Lord gave him a word. And I love this word. And I just want to share it with you. I think it goes along with what we're talking about today. Many of you in here today have been standing for a breakthrough for a long, long time, wondering when it would happen and if I would do it as you've seen it in your mind. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So just trust me. I know what I'm doing, and I've got it all worked out. I've already gone before you and surely made a way. Rest assured, your breakthrough is coming, and there will be no more delays. Finances, healings, and miracles too. They already have been arranged for you. So lift your hands and praise me, for I'm the God of your breakthrough. What your enemy meant for evil, I've turned into something good. I'll always cause you to triumph, just like I said I would. So no more tears of sorrow, only tears of joy and happiness. Yes, the Lord of the breakthrough has broken through for you. If you receive that, give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise and a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to be your cheerleader today, okay? I just want to come in here. I just want to build your faith. I want you to leave here feeling so built up. You feel like you could take on the world. Let's look at Ephesians 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Our God is able. Let me say this. Some of you, you have been dealing with something for years, maybe even decades, and the enemy has told you, you just need to be a good little soldier for Jesus. You just need to accept this thing. You just need to tolerate this thing. This is just your thorn. This is just your lot in life. This is how you're going to suffer for Jesus. But I'm telling you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I don't care how long you've dealt with that thing. Today is your day to go free in Jesus' name. God wants to break through for you. He wants to break through. If you've had some kind of issue in your body, I believe he wants you to go free. He wants you to go home healed today. If you've had an issue in your marriage, in your relationships, in your finances, whatever it is, I believe God wants to heal and restore today. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Galatians, we can't talk about what we've been redeemed from without going to Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And if you want to know what you've been redeemed from, go to Deuteronomy 28. I know Jerry Seville, he would say, maybe he's still saying in heaven, I don't know. He would say when he read, well, let's just turn over there. Faith comes by hearing, right? Deuteronomy 28. Now, verses 1 through 14 are the blessing. And then verses 15 through 68 are the curse. And I'm not going to read all that, but he said he would read and he would say, hallelujah, I've been redeemed from that. 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 That's a good way to look at it, right? When I read it, I think, oh God, I don't want that. But when you read it, you need to say, thank God I've been redeemed from that. I've been redeemed from that. So you are redeemed from spiritual death unto life. You're redeemed from sickness and to disease to health and healing and wholeness. We're redeemed from poverty and lack to prosperity and abundance. Now it doesn't matter. Maybe there's some kind of disease that's been in your bloodline, your family line for generations. And in your thinking, you think, well, I just have to have that because it's been in my bloodline. No, you don't have to have it. The blood of Jesus is greater than the blood that runs in your veins. So you say the buck stops here. This thing is not, it's not going on any further. I've been redeemed from that. Poverty. Maybe you grew up in poverty and you say, well, that's just my family's lot in life. No, that may have been your family's lot in life, but you've been redeemed from that. You have been redeemed. You may say, well, people in my family just battle depression. They battle discouragement or all the marriages in my family end in divorce. You say, no, in the name of Jesus, that stops with me. I'm not depressed. I've got the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. No, my marriage is not going to end in divorce. In the name of Jesus, my marriage will last and we will glorify God. And if you have gone through a divorce, this is not to shame you in any way, okay? This is not to put condemnation, guilt, shame. I'm saying, but if you're currently married, you stand for that marriage because you've been redeemed from that. What I'm saying is, you do not have to live the way your family has lived your whole life. God wants you to go up to a new level, a higher level. Because you know what? When people begin to see you walking in the fullness of the blessing, they begin to see you walking in your redemption. I believe it's going to draw them like a magnet to Jesus because they're going to say, I went to school with you. I knew you when we were kids. What happened? I saw your family. I knew your family. What happened? And you're going to be able to share Jesus with them, and you're going to be able to share what God has done for you. So why don't we walk in the fullness of our redemption? We all know Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So it could just be ignorance. It could just be that you simply don't know. I know that was my case for a really long time growing up. The devil had convinced me that God was against me. He didn't love me. I wasn't one of the special ones that he loved. But then I got into the Word and I found out what God said. So it could be ignorance. It could be religion. You know, Mark 7:13 says that religion makes the Word of God of no effect, or tradition. And so there are religions, there are churches that they're not known for what they believe. They're known for what people can't believe, what people can't have. Well, I don't want Hope Harbor to be known for that. I want Hope Harbor to be known for we build people's faith. We teach them that you can have what God says you can have. You can do what God says you can do. You can be what God says you can be. Amen. Unbelief. In Matthew 21:22. You can turn there, Matthew 21:22. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Some people just don't believe. They do believe that God would do that, but they don't believe that God would do it for them. But I'm here to tell you that God will do that for you. Not only will he already has. He's already done it for you. And he loves you and he wants you to just receive it. Here's my prayer for me personally. I do not want to stand before God one day, either when Jesus comes in the rapture or when I go. I don't want to stand before God one day, and I don't want God to say, Kelly, you lived so below what I wanted for you. You struggled in those things. Here I wanted you to walk in victory, but you struggled with those things all your life. Or you didn't walk in the blessing, the prosperity that I wanted you to walk in. You didn't walk in the healing that I wanted you to walk in. You didn't walk in the deliverance that I wanted you to walk in. I don't want God to say that to me. I want him to say, Kelly, you used up everything I had for you. You just believed me for it all. You took it all. But I believe God wants that for you too. I know something just in my own time with the Lord. I'll just be completely honest. I'll be transparent with you. Something the Lord keeps asking me in my personal time with him. Kelly, will you dare to believe me for more? Will you dare to believe me for more? because I try to always tell God, thank you for what he's done. And God's appreciative of that. But what he keeps telling me in my own time, I'm grateful that, I'm thankful that you're thankful, but will you believe me for more? Will you press in? Will you believe me for more? So I've been saying, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. I will believe you for more. Another reason we don't walk in the fullness of our redemption is resistance. You know, the enemy is not going to just say, well, hallelujah, Judah got a revelation today. I guess I'll leave him alone now and I'll let him just have everything. No, he's going to fight you. He's going to fight you. He's going to try to lie to you and tell you, did God really say that? Remember, that's nothing new. He did that to Eve in the garden. Did God really say that? Or he's going to try to discourage you. God's taking too long. He's not going to do it. Whatever it is, he's going to fight you. But here's what he doesn't know. I'm stubborn. Right. I'm stubborn. You want to fight me? That's fine. I'm just going to keep standing. I'm going to keep speaking. I'm going to keep believing. And you need to be stubborn like that too. You need to have a bulldog tenacity, a bulldog faith that you are not going to let go. You're going to hold on no matter what. You're going to hold on and you're going to press in to receive everything that the Lord has for you. I want to share. Look at 2 Samuel 5, verse 20. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has burst through my enemies before me like a bursting flood. Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal Perazim. Look at 1 Chronicles 14, 8 through 11, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they all went up in search of David, and he heard about it and went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of God, shall I go up against the Philistines? And will you hand them over to me? Then the Lord said to him, go up, and I will hand them over to you. So Israel came up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated the Philistines there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore, they named that place Baal Perazim. And then I want you to look at Isaiah 59:19. Now, just a little grammar lesson real quick. As you're turning to Isaiah 59:19, do you remember when you're in grade school and your teachers are teaching you English and they're teaching you about punctuation? Okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Straight sentence, question mark at the end. Do you want to eat Kelly? Or do you want to eat, comma, Kelly? The first sentence is you're asking, do you want to eat me? Please don't. I'm not very delicious. The second sentence is asking me, do you want to eat Kelly? So punctuation is very, very important. It changes the meaning of the sentence. Amen. So in Isaiah 59:19, They have the punctuation wrong in this sentence. It says, this is out of the Amplified, so as the result of the Messiah's intervention, they shall reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight, for he will come like a rushing stream which the breath of the Lord drives. But that comma should not be there. It should say, when the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The enemy is not coming in like the flood. The Spirit of the Lord is. The enemy, the Spirit of the Lord is coming in like a flood, and he's breaking through. And I want to tell you, he wants to break through in your situation today. Y'all are not excited. That excited me. God wants to break through in your situation today. So what Jericho are you currently facing? What Red Sea are you currently facing? And that, in our situation, that Red Sea and that Jericho can be an example, or it could be something so big and ominous that there's nothing that you can do to resolve it. So yours may not be the actual Jericho. It may not be the actual Red Sea, but it's something that looks to you like it's impossible, that you can never break through. But I'm here to tell you that your God wants to come in, and like a flood, he wants to break through that thing for you. He wants to break through. So your Jericho, it could be a sickness. It could be a disease. It could be your marriage. It could be a loss. It could be shortage or lack, debt. But whatever it is, I'm here to tell you today is your breaking through day. God wants you to break through. See, God is the master of the breakthrough. If he can cause the Jericho walls to fall, then he can break through for you. If he can shut the mouths of the lions, he can break through for you.
Yeah. Amen.
If he can quench the fiery furnace, he can break through for you.
Woo! Yeah.
If he can part the Red Sea, then he can break through for you.
Amen.
And if he can feed the multitude of little two-piece fish dinner, a few loaves and a couple fishes, then he can break through for you.
Amen.
So I want to share some more scriptures with you. But more than anything, I want you to be convinced today that God wants to break through for you. Look. Look at Psalm 89, verse 34. Psalm 89, verse 34. And again, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. My covenant will I not break or profane nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Numbers 23, verse 19. Look at Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie, neither the son of man that he should feel repentance or compunction for what he has promised. Has he said it and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? So I'm here to tell you, you can trust our God. When he says something, you can believe it. You can take it to the bank. Now, just the opposite of that is true with the devil. What does the Bible say about the devil? Amen. Let's look at that scripture. John 8:44. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the lust and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar himself and the father of lies and of all that is false. So here we have, according to the word, our God only tells the truth. And when he promises, when he speaks, he does what he says. And then it also tells us that the devil is a liar. There is no truth in him. So I want you to think about this. The next time the devil wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, you're never going to be healed. Your marriage is never going to be restored. You're never going to be able to pay that bill. You need to jump up right then and say, hallelujah, devil. If you're telling me that, you must know my breakthrough's on the way. Because you're a liar and there is no truth in you. So if you're telling me I'm never going to be healed, hallelujah, I'm healed. If you're telling me my marriage is never going to be healed and restored, hallelujah, my marriage is healed and restored. See, when he lies to you, you should rejoice. Because that means he's nervous. He's nervous. He sees your breakthroughs on the way. He sees, uh-oh. She's getting ready to be healed. She's getting ready to receive it. So you need to rejoice. You need to laugh. Laugh at the devil. Because your breakthrough, that means it's right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So there's been some weapons that the enemy has brought against you. But I'm telling you today, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look at, I have several scriptures. Look at Hebrews 6:17-18. Hebrews 6:17-18. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It says, in the same way, God in his desire to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable nature of his purpose, intervened and guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to him for refuge would have strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope set before us. So I want to tell you something. You know, a lot of times you're talking to somebody and you don't know if they're telling you the truth. So you'll say, are you really to promise or promise? Or what, when somebody goes to court, they're called as a witness in court. What do they have to do? They typically have to put their hands on the Bible, right? And they have to repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. But here's what Hebrews says. Since God is God and there's no greater person that he could swear by, it said that he promised us with an oath. So we have two things that we can stand on. Number one, the promise itself. And number two, his oath. Because again, we just read, right, that God is not a man that he should lie. What he has spoken, he will do. Amen. So I'm telling you, God's reputation, his very honor, his very character, his very nature is on the line if he does not do what he says he will do. So I'm going to choose to go with the word. Amen. When I'm given that bad report, Am I going to go with this report? Or am I going to go with the Word? I think I'm going to go with the Word.
Right.
Because see, that other report is subject to change to the Word of God.
Right.
And that's what you need to do. Well, yes, here's what that bill is telling you. But here's what the Bible says. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches, not my riches, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You can stand on God's word. You can stand on it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, let me see here. So here are some things to help you to receive your breakthrough, okay? I've got several things. Number one, check your current obedience level. Are you doing what you already know to do? So check your obedience level. Number two, stop listening to the lies of the devil.
Right.
Number three, maximize God's presence in your life. I don't know about you, but I need more of God, not less of God. So maximize His presence in your life. Next, watch your words. I know you know this, but it never hurts to go back and look at it. Proverbs 18, Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Proverbs 13, 2 and 3. A good man eats good from the fruit of his mouth, but the desire of the treacherous is for violence. He who guards his mouth keeps his life, but he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So number one, if you've been going around speaking death, doubt, fear, and unbelief over yourself or anybody else, stop it. Repent of it. Whenever I catch myself, I say in the name of Jesus, I curse those words. I command those words to fall to the ground and die without bearing any fruit. And then I start. It's not enough to stop speaking bad words. You've got to start speaking. Amen. So start speaking the word. What does the word say about your situation? By His stripes, I was healed. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. With long life will He satisfy me and show me His salvation. So stop speaking the wrong words. And start speaking right words. Next, be consistent. Stay focused and determined that quitting is not an option. And that goes back to what I just said a while ago. You've got to have that bulldog faith, that bulldog tenacity, that no matter what, you're going to keep standing, you're going to keep believing. And if you will determine that you're going to stand and you're going to believe, the Bible tells us you won't be standing very long. Next, do exactly what He tells you to do. Listen for His plan and then execute the plan. You know, sometimes what He tells us to do doesn't make sense in the natural. Going back to the Jericho, remember they were to march around one time daily for 6 days, and then the last day they were to march around seven times and blow the ram's horn. Now, I've heard bands play before, but I never saw walls come tumbling down when the horns played. I've heard people clap and cheer, but I didn't see walls come tumbling down. But because that was the command, it did. So you do what God tells you to do. Whatever it is He's telling you to do, you obey. And it may seem crazy. It may seem like it doesn't make sense to your carnal, natural mind, but that's okay. You do what God tells you to do. Next, honor him with the spoils of your victory. Honor him with your praise. Honor him with your gratitude. Honor him with your substance. And I encourage you to plant a seed towards your breakthrough. The wonderful thing about a seed, we all know, is you always reap more than you sow. You always reap after you sow. And you always reap what you sow. So plant a seed. Honor God. And watch him break through. And I believe that it will not be a one-time occurrence. I believe that you can continue to live in breakthrough. I believe you can continue to live in breakthrough. You can continue to live in victory all the days of your life. Amen. Stand, please. Thank you, God. I want to just pray for people. Is that okay?
Yes. All right.
You walked in here today and you may have had a smile on your face, but inside your heart's breaking, inside you're saying, God, I don't know how much longer I can go. Because you need that breakthrough. I'm telling you, today is your day. So if you need a breakthrough, no matter, it doesn't matter what area, I want you to come down to this altar today. We're going to believe God for your breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Come down to this altar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I just want to just reiterate one more time what Timothy said. God loves you. Look, you didn't get saved because of your own goodness. You didn't get saved because of anything that you did. And you're not going to receive your breakthrough because of your goodness or your works. You're going to receive your breakthrough the same way, by faith. Because your Father loves you. Your Father loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out. Anybody else? You need a breakthrough in your life. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what it is. There is nothing too hard, too difficult for our God. Thank you, 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 God. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We can make room for you down here because I believe there's faith in this altar. I believe there's faith in this altar. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I'm going to walk through and I'm just going to quickly lay a hand on you just as a point of contact. Because look, I'm not the healer, I'm not the deliverer, I'm not the any of that. Jesus is. But I'm just going to lay faith on you as a point of contact, or lay my hands on you as a point of contact with my faith. Tim, will you help? And we're just going to walk through. We're going to quickly lay hands on you. And I want you by faith to receive that today. Receive that breakthrough, whatever it is. Receive it today in Jesus' name, because God loves you. God loves you. I cannot stress it enough. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And whatever it is you need, God wants to do it for you today. Because that's how much He loves you. Thank you, Jesus.